attorney Barry C. Boykin.
I'm attorney Kevin Johnson. Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Dynamite Divorce and Other Matters, where we try to unravel the tangled web of family law and all of its manifestations from the point of view of a couple of experienced practitioners. So today, we had just talked in a previous episode about the involvement of children and how they can be swayed in a custody battle or parenting time squabble or decision-making dilemma, whatever you want to say. And one of the ways that parents can involve their kids directly in the case is through what's called an in-camera interview. Now, in-camera is a bit of Latin that doesn't have anything to do with camera, but it means that the child will be interviewed by the judge back in the judge's office. And Illinois law requires that it be done with a court reporter present and normally with the attorneys present. Now, it gets a little stickier if somebody doesn't have an attorney in the case. And I've had judges who have out and out asked the lawyers to waive their presence during the in-camera. But I can tell you it's a point of deep dissension and division in the legal community over whether or not to have in-cameras of children. So I believe, and let me just get a word in here. I'll say my part, and then Barry, I'd like to hear what you think before we go to the disclaimer. I believe that fundamentally in-camera interviews of children are bad. It's usually because the parents don't see eye to eye. The involvement of a child's attorney, different flavors of child's attorneys, has not given a clear message to either of what the likely outcome is going to be. There may have been a custody evaluation coming down one side or the other. That's long involved and a great expense. So all this time and expense, and neither willing to see their way clear to settle the case. They believe they could get more in court. That's why people don't settle, because they're not convinced that this is the best they could do. Settlement comes when people think, well, this is not the best I could do, but it's better than the risk of going to a judge and having the, you know, rolling the dice. So we're at a point in a case where each parent holds out hope that ultimately they will prevail with the judge, that, you know, it's just so clear that I should win. And then, well, as a last thing, they'll say, well, let's have an in-camera. And then they'll suggest, let's have an in-camera judge. And one or two of the lawyers will say that, or it's never me. But I think it's bad. What do you think?
I disagree. And let me tell you why. So I disagree because it depends on my perspective as I look at it, as I encounter these requests. It depends on a number of factors. So we have to take it, I believe, on a case-by-case basis. I generally would have to say, however, that I'm in favor of getting some expression of the child's wishes, which is one of the factors that's in the statute we say is a crucial factor in determining a child's best interest. Mm-hmm. That being said, however, then what's the age of the child? How well is the child able to express himself or herself?
Well, that's a problem right there.
And then did the child in some fashion, form or fashion, actually start the case? So a child that comes to dad, it's not even on the radar where dad, you know, the child comes to dad and say, you know, dad, you know, I'd really like to live with you, dad, you know, and there may be many motivations behind it. Maybe mom is a little bit too tough. And child wants to get out from under discipline.
No, mom started dating Frank. And now Frank's showing up with a bathrobe in the kitchen in the morning. And he's like, and the child's like, dad, can I live with you? Or something's not right at mom's house now. And it's a little uncomfortable. Maybe mom's too strict about homework. Sometimes that's the thing, you know, mom's doing her job and she's too strict in the child's mind, right?
And there's also something we've talked about briefly, just touched on the phrase parental alienation. Mm-hmm. There's another kind of companion notion, which is that of parental alignment. So yeah. You might have a boy who says, well, now I want to live with dad because I want to, you know, I'm learning how to be a young man. Or a girl who says, well, hey, you know, I want to stay with mom because she understands me. So there's a little bit of that type of alignment. Does not necessarily have to be a son with father or daughter with mother, but there can be some alignment where there's a clear preference on the part of a child for one parent over the other, not having anything to do, in my view, with parental alienation.
Mm-hmm. So pause for disclaimer. Before we go further,
this podcast is no substitute for the specific legal advice you will get by consulting one-on-one with a licensed attorney in your state or country. We hope that before taking any action that might change your life or your financial situation, and before making decisions that might significantly affect your children and the people around you, you do find and meet with a licensed attorney.
Now on with the show. Okay. So you're saying case by case that as these cases come up and the suggestion is made, and it's not you, right, suggesting in-camera interviews. You're not the one saying the child should go in the back and talk to the judge, right?
I don't believe in the many years I've practiced, I've ever made that request, maybe once. I don't believe I've ever made the request, even though when it happens, then I let it happen somewhat naturally. In other words, that someone else has identified that. Because generally I represent one of the parents. I'm not representing the child. So it's really, I don't see it to be my place in representing the parent to get, you know, the child's voice heard, although the voice is important. Well, but go ahead.
Well, no, here's the thing. That is the phrase I've heard. And I once heard that mentioned, like the child's voice is very important and we need that child's voice to be heard, which was a way of saying that there should be an in-camera interview. The child should be interviewed by the judge in almost every case. And a visceral response. I was like, no, because my thought is, okay, here's a long story short, but I believe there's a mom face and dad face. And I've said this before, but the child being between two households has a tough row to hold. They've got to be acceptable to dad and they got to be acceptable to mom. Well, they're not stupid. So on mom's side, they say, I love here. I just want to be here. Do I have to go back to dad? It's so boring over there. I don't like his girlfriend, Nancy. And then in dad's house, they say, well, gosh, is my weekend already over? Do I really have to go back? I was really enjoying this. I can't wait to see you again. I wish I lived here. So that's the mom and dad face, that the persona the child is crafting pleases the parent they're with, and to good effect. The parent is just all happy and bubbly and they say the right thing. Well, the problem is each parent now thinks if only the child would tell that to the judge, this case would go so much better. It would just crack things wide open and it would just go my way. And they're convinced that what they're hearing from their child is what they're going to tell a third party. But no, because the child has been crafting that approach to please dad, but the very opposite mirror effect to please mom. I don't know if you agree, but I think there is a little bit of a spin applied by kids to what they tell each parent. Now I have a solution to that, but what do you think?
Well, first let me kind of give you a different experience that I've had. I have to confess, I have had that experience where that's happened. I think that's a good description of it, mom face, dad face. But I've also had the situation where the stories of the child's behavior in the two households is very consistent. So a child who may want to spend almost all the time with mom. I don't want to leave you, mom. I want to spend all my time with you, mom. But at dad's, there are slammed doors. There's loud arguments. There's yelling. You never let me do what I want to do. You never listen to me. You're never home. You know. So I have had cases where it's remarkably consistent of the child saying, I love it with mom. I hate it with dad, or vice versa, where I love it with dad and I hate it with mom. So I've had that type of a case. Now, let me also draw out, we started this podcast with the idea, we have a child now who, for reasons the parents may not know, during the context of a case, sent a letter to the judge. Judge, I'd like to talk to you.
Now, does that happen? Have you had a child send a letter to a judge ever?
I I have to think. I'm not sure in any of my cases that I have had children who've called the child rep.
Yes, but I've had the child rep, the child's attorney, child's rep, GAL, will announce that the child really wants to talk with the judge. Really does.
I know of cases where it has happened where the judge gets a letter. And of course, the letter has to be screened because judges are not supposed to have any ex parte communications. And so there's a careful screening. But at some point, let's say the judge learns that this child has written me a letter. What do I do?
Right. So the child, for whatever reason, expresses a desire to talk to the judge.
Yes.
Well, you know, the problem is, okay, talk about conflicting loyalties. Okay, so the parents can't agree on maybe which parent should have the majority of parenting time, or the parents can't agree on whether dad should be allowed to move to Denver with a little 10-year-old Bobby or something. But it's on a knife edge. It could go either way, and nothing's really definitive, and neither party's willing to budge. Okay, and somebody out there says to the child, would you like to talk to the judge? Well, can I do that? Well, you have to ask. You know, and then they ask the child rep, the idea is floated. And I think it's a disaster, because if the child goes back in chambers with the judge and comes and out comes a decision, the judge says, well, I've heard enough and I'm going to recommend that. Now, one parent's going to feel betrayed. And they're going to think, well, you sold me out, Bobby. I thought you'd like to be with me. I thought, why did you want to move to, you know, whatever. You want to move to your dad with your dad to Denver? Fine, you know, I wash my hands of you. It could really provoke bitterness and a breakdown between the parents by the one who wasn't favored in the child's little spiel, you know, in the back. So it really makes for a very divisive situation with the child at the very center, eye of the hurricane. That's
well,
why.
This is where there's some skill, and in my experience. So in my experience, that there's some skill on the part of the decision maker that the judge has to have some. Let me give you a reason for believing that, and that is that one of the last times that I was involved in a case that involved the children being interviewed, the judge explained that he was going to grant the motion. A motion was made by the child rep, actually, because the children were calling her, asking to be heard. So the motion was made. The judge granted it. However, the judge says, I'm going to do it as a last resort. I'm not going to immediately talk to them. I'm going to let you parents see if you can work it out first. And then if you cannot work it out, then before at the very last day of trial, then I'm going to then bring the children and do an in-camera interview with. Now, I don't know that he set the rules of the parties being present, but I have had cases where the judges have said, attorneys, I'm not going to let you speak. Present me questions you would like me to ask.
Yes.
And I will consider those questions and in my asking the children. And I'm going to have a court reporter present. I think that's required in every in-camera interview. So
but
court
I think
reporter
they can
present,
see, but they can seal it
on the questions. Yeah, and
they can seal it.
They
can seal the record. You don't want the parents to read 3 weeks later what the child said. I think they can seal the record, but they need to have a court reporter present. I believe that is the law.
Now, here's the other part. Here's the other part where I have had cases where the attorneys are excluded, and what happens is that in some sense, the judge is somewhat acting as the child's advocate. So the judge comes out and says, there's something the child told me that he says, please don't tell my mom or dad none of this. And I'm not going to share it with you. And I'm going to share you with those things, the general impressions I have. And the child is able to speak intelligently and coherently. And I get some sense of the child knows, you know, the difference between right and wrong and is able to tell the truth. And here's my take on what should happen with the primary residential parent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes judges will exclude the attorneys and go ahead with having the meeting with the child or children, and then emerge and say, the child shared with me some things that would I would rather not share. The child has asked me not to, but here are my general impressions. And right? Is that what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been excluded from one memorable case where the judge asked the attorneys not to waive their attendance at the, the in camera, and then he went back with these two kids, and I felt left out. I thought, now what do I tell my client? Because I don't know what the child said, what children said, and apparently they said different things too. One wanting to be with the client, one not. It got all mixed up, and
Oh,
with.
that just reminds me of something. And if this is not too much of a break, what about the case where there's more than one child, and the two children want different things? So one
Yes.
child wants to stay with mom, one wants to stay with dad.
Well, yeah. In that case, both kids went in the back, and it was two boys, and the judge came out with one wants to be seeing dad on a regular basis, one wants to pause, and I can't really tell you why, but it's right now that seems like the best idea, and it was like, what do we do with this? So, just like when kids are interviewed by any professional, I'd like them to be interviewed individually as much as possible. But I think in that case, they were interviewed together, which always, I think it's very artificial, makes it hard for either, because they're worried that whatever they say is going to be told to the other parent. And so to summarize, as we come to the end of this segment, I think that having an in-camera interview with the judge is harmful to kids in that it really puts them in the center of a dispute that really should be handled by the adults. Now, while it is an important element, their preference, what they want, in the case, that can be expressed by their own attorney, that is the child representative or the GAL, who should interview the child if they're old enough to express a preference and kind of get a sense why and what's going on. But in the idea that they go back and they talk to the judge and that the judge is going to hear something new and useful that hasn't been developed by either the parties, advocates, and them saying it, and has not been found out by the child representative and the GAL, but something new and fresh, it's kind of frightening to me that something suddenly could be expressed to a judge that hasn't been expressed already. And it also puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the child to pick it, because it's come down to this, which parent's going to get what they want, and the child is in the middle. It's almost like then the child is being asked to pick a winner. So good or right or wrong, that's how it's going to seem, I think. So.
And here's why I disagree with that. And again, I say it's a case by case basis. But if a child is frustrated because that child is not being heard, and although child reps sometimes attempt to be objective, there are cases where child reps take sides and won't take a child's call, maybe too busy. And the child says, "Nobody's listening to me. And I want to go to the judge. I want to let the judge know how I feel." And so that child then being able to get to the judge, and the judge sympathetically, compassionately, of course, the judge has to do a good job too, and say,
Right.
what is it that you want me to know?"
Oh, and there are a lot
And
of
then the
good
child
judges.
expresses
There,
that, yeah, a lot of
judges
good
have a
judges. So,
very, they have a very
so
tough
the,
job. Yes.
if the judge is skillful, and the judge brings out that new material, okay, I've learned something from this child that I didn't hear from anybody else in this case, and that's going to lead. That's going to give me light for my decision that I'm going to make in this matter. And then the child's been heard, and the child has some power, because otherwise the child has no power. And maybe the child shouldn't have power insofar as control, but I think appropriate power, insofar as, hey, this affects. Am I going to be living in the community where my friends live? Where I love my school, where I have these activities I do, where I have this routine that they're trying to shake me out of,
So wait, you're
so.
saying wait, you seem to be saying that the child should help be the deciding factor. I mean, go in the back, talk to the judge, and tip the scale. Be the final thing that tips the scale.
I'm saying, I'm qualifying it by saying it's only certain cases where I've seen, so it's not every case, no. So I think it would be a mistake to say in every case, let's hear from the child. And I think most judges would agree. But also, I've never seen any judge who says, well, I'm never going to listen to a child and let the child tell me what to say. I think if for the in the appropriate case, a judge will consider, okay, yeah, I'd like to have an in-camera. And is the judge going to do that early in the case or later in the case? I kind of think it should be later in the case.
Well, your example of I thought was a really wise judge was that I'll hear the evidence. I'll hear everything the parents have to present. And if I'm still in doubt, if it's still really hanging there on the edge, then I'll do an in-camera of the child to cap off my all the facts and find out finally at the end. That's great because it's unlikely to happen then because the judge is probably going to hear enough in the case. But then it reserves the right. The judge then has reserved the right to say, you know, folks, you through your attorneys and you've made a very good presentation and both of you, it's very difficult. And I can say that you're both good parents and it's, you know, now I'm not saying it's going to decide the case, but I would like to talk with the children just to get their perspective. You know, okay, that all sounds good. And it's a wise judge who says that, except what about then the children tip the scale against dad or in favor of dad? Won't the parents be forever damaged with that you chose me, so you, I love you, son, you chose me. You know, mom's like, well, I thought you loved me, now you chose dad to move to Wyoming, what happened? You know,
and well, keep in mind that this case is going to result in damage no matter how you go it. These parents
just
are going to be damaged out of this.
Well, because, I know, but
and there's
but,
plenty of blame. There's plenty of blame to go around. You know,
right?
The judge is wrong. My attorney didn't do a good enough job. I should have gotten a father's rights attorney. And you know, if I had enough money, I really would have fought.
My friend had a similar case, and she got custody. Why did I lose? It was the same.
So there's plenty of blame to go around. It depends on how mature that parent is. And I've had situations where both parents have wanted the in-camera to occur because they've both been convinced the trial's really going to speak on my behalf.
Well, yeah, that's the mom face, dad face problem where each of them is hearing what they want. Yeah. Well, we run out of time on this segment, and I appreciate this clash of ideas. Of course, I feel I'm right, but hey, but that's okay. Reasonable minds can differ. So we'll wrap this up. I'm attorney Kevin Johnson.
I'm attorney Barry C. Boykin.
And we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you.